Judges chapter number 16, and I know hopefully our kids from Gate weren't saying Samson again, and no, it's not Samson again, but he's going to be involved in it over this course of this year. As Pastor Shelton's been going, I feel the pulpit, I've probably preached 6 or 7 messages through here about Samson, and I had on my mind when we started that phrase, when Delilah was trying to get the secret of, Goliath, of Samson's strength, that he would say something, that I should be weak as any other man. I came in to think about preaching. That was on my mind like any other man. But as you preachers understand, you start studying the Bible, a lot of times God will bring something else to life. So I'm going a little different route, though, but it's in that vicinity. Judges chapter 16, verse 4. I'm going to read a fairly lengthy portion of Scripture. So if you'll bear with me, the Bible says in verse 4, "And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up and said unto her, Entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, Tell me, I pray thee, wherein is thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee? And Samson said unto her, If they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. And there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, Behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. And tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith, and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms and thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, Hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web, and she fastened it with the pin and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, How canst thou say I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with the words, and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep on her knee. And she called for a man and caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, The Philistines be upon thee. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for Jesus this morning. Thank you for mercy. Thank you, God, for this meeting thus far. Lord, the message has been preached. God, our hearts have been stirred. The songs have been sung. God, the blessing it's been. And God, the good time of fellowship and fun we've had, we thank you for that. But God, these times of preaching, Lord, these times around the Word, God, is the center point and the purpose of this meeting. And I pray, God, you'd help us as we look into your Word this morning. and look to these truths. I pray, God, that you would help me. God, I want to be clear. And God, I want to be true this morning. And God, I need your help. God, I pray you'd give me wisdom, unction. God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. God, as I preach this morning, I pray you'd touch these young people. God, give them understanding. I know they've been busy. I know they're a little weary this morning. But I pray, God, you'd help them to get dialed into the truth. I pray, God, you'd sanctify this hour. God, from the depths of my heart, God, I want to please you. Help me to do that. God, I want to help these young people. God, I pray that you'd have your will and way this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. You know, it's amazing, some of the most memorable women in the Bible are not always good women. Sometimes it's evil women. Think of some of the first names that come to your mind when you think of women in the Bible. How about a name like the name Bathsheba? How about a name like the name Jezebel? And then there's the woman that we've read about in our text. Her name is Delilah. Now, Delilah's name is mentioned 6 times in the Bible. All of them are in this text. Now, Landon and Clay, don't tell Brother Jarvis what I'm about to say, all right? But you know, sometimes numbers have significance. And it's interesting when we're talking to Delilah that her name was mentioned 6 times. And that word, the number 6, has to do, it speaks of the weakness of man, the manipulation of sin, and the evils of Satan. That's awful fitting in that text this morning. Now, I think about Delilah. She has been dead some 4,000 years. But it's interesting that that spirit that was on her and her desires and her deeds, it still lives in Christian circles. Now, when I talk about Delilah this morning, I'm going to lay some groundwork. I'm not necessarily talking about a female. I'm not even going to be talking much about relationships about between boys and girls and men and women. I'm talking about a spirit that acts, that divides and destroys and disrupts church and youth groups. I hope I can get out my mouth and what is in my heart this morning. I hope that I can get through to you what I want to say to you this morning. But there, Delilahs are busy in our youth groups. You can think it's your church or another church. And I really want you to think this morning. I want you to be honest with yourself, but I do not want you to be judgmental. Okay? I want you to examine truth. Things are going all well in your youth group or your church, and all of a sudden there's a division that's come up. All of a sudden there's people that's wounded. What's happened? Delilah has reared up her ugly head. Now I want to think about some questions this morning. One, do you know of a Delilah in your life? Number two, are you a Delilah? Now, I want to tell you something this morning, just laying groundwork and working with kids. I'm no stranger. I've worked in Christian schools. I've taught Sunday schools. I've worked in bus ministries. I've coached ball. I've done Bible camp for 14, 15 years. And man, I was counseling Bible camps when I was a 16-year-old kid for bus kids. I mean, I'm not a stranger to you. And I ain't afraid of you either. I'll tell you that right now. You know, it's amazing. Somebody with credibility and reputation can catch one of you sweet angels with your hand in the cookie jar and mention to your mom and daddy, no, not my baby. I'm going to tell you what, you may have your mom and daddy fooled this morning, but I'm going to tell you, God is no man's fool. He knows exactly who you are. He knows exactly what you do. He knows the motives behind it, and you'll never fool him. And would to God we could just put a stop to this spirit of Delilah that shows up in our churches and our youth groups. And I hope that I can draw that out for you this morning. I tell you, we are Christians. You hear me? We're children of God. And our lives ought to be marked with love and kindness and concern and grace towards one another. I want to remind you, I know this is not the exact interpretation of the scripture, but I think over in Philippians I read that if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed. Now I'm going to look at this Delilah, and I hope you'll be open this morning. It's not to condemn you, it's to help you. I go to the doctor, you start getting a little older and you got to go every 6 months for blood work, and then you go every year for that annual physical. But I'm going to give you a physical this morning. And sometimes when I go to that doctor, he don't tell me what I want to hear. He don't tell me that the things I love to eat and I love to drink or write for me. Sometimes he just flat out says, you need to stop. And he'll explain while I'm winded when I'm trying to sing his songs. And it's not always good news, but it'll help me if I listen. I want to help you. I want to make you stronger. I want the Lord to do that. I want to make your youth group stronger. I want to see God make this meeting stronger. And if we'll put the foot on Delilah's head this morning, I believe we can work that out. I want to preach just a little bit about the spirit of Delilah, or you can call her Delilah the Destroyer. Give you some four things this morning about Delilah. First of all, let's just be honest about Delilah and look about her association. What kind of person is this? Who is she? When you read your text this morning, you look in the Bible, who was Delilah identified with? Is she a Philistine or a Jew? Truth of the matter is, we don't know. The Bible is not clear on what she is. All we can do is look and try to make a judgment for ourselves, try to figure out if she's an apple or she's an arm or she's a peach. We look, and what we do know is she was awful cozy with the Philistines. They knew her well enough to know that when they came, that she had a price. She had a price she'd take to turn on Samson and turn him over. They knew her price. So in today's terms, would she be saved? Or would she be lost? You remember, Jews represent God's people, but the Philistines represent the flesh and the world or the lost this morning. So who would she identify with? Who do you identify with?
That's good.
Boy, it's great to be able to look and have a good idea who you're talking to.
Yeah,
hey, now, I'm going to tell you something. Let me just call time out here for just a minute. I need to get something here clarified. I grew up in a day in church. Now, let me say something. I believe in dressing right, talking right, spitting white, and all that good stuff. I believe in that. But I grew up in a day where that was so paramount. As long as you did that, you'd treat people like the devil, look down on your nose at them, and you're still all right. But what we did when we got that way, we lost our love and concern for everybody else. But I want to tell you, we raise people that's hard and bitter, but we need some people that are tender and easily identifiable of whose side they're on, not just by their wardrobe, but by their heart and by their attitude and actions toward other people. Would to God, hey, would to God we'd be known as Christians. You know what that word means? Christ-like. Little Jesus is, amen, little Christ. That's what that is, and it's identified by their love and their concern one for another. I know this probably sounds kind of contemporary, but boy, it'd be good if we'd just fall back in love with Jesus, fall back in love with one another, get back to exhorting and edifying instead of tearing each other down. But who do you identify this morning? Do you act like a saved person, or you act like a lost person? I mean, really, if we stood you up in front of your peers, I'm not asking if you've made a profession. I'm not asking if you've prayed a prayer. I'm not asking if your daddy's a deacon or your daddy's a preacher. But boy, when you're called up and people, if it was a trial, you remember the old story they used to tell? If you were put on trial for being a Christian, what would the evidence tell? Would a conviction come down, or would you be dismissed for lack of evidence? Whose side are you on? Now, we don't know. But I want to tell you, as I preach this morning, if there's some of this spirit of Delilah that begins to show up, say, you know, I got a little bit of that going on. What I want to encourage you to do is do some soul searching this morning. Look way down deep and see where you stand with God. But you know, whatever Delilah was, she was the tool that was used to destroy Samson. I don't want to be a Delilah. I don't want that spirit coming upon me. But we've seen Delilah's association. But let's look at Delilah's ambitions. What possessed her? What pushed her to want to treat Samson like this or treat other people like this? We know that when the lords of the Philistines came to her, they offered her 1,100 pieces of silver. And in that text, they said each of us, there was five lords of the Philistines, so that would mean there was probably 5,500 pieces of silver. So that tells me she obviously wanted some possessions. She wanted to have. Now, I want to tell you that it's amazing how that shows up. We live in a day and time for the pursuit. It's not the pursuit of happiness. It's the pursuit of prosperity. Everybody wants kids sell out early for a job, and they give up church so they can have that car or that nice car. I want to tell you, keep priorities in order. Keep priorities in order. Keep Jesus first. Keep Jesus number one. When those things, when those fancy wardrobe, those fancy clothes became the most important thing to you, when those things are out of order, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth, is what the Bible says. Hey, if you fall in love with money, I'll just tell you the kind of people that puts you with. That puts you in the kind of people that Delilah did. Remember, she sold out Samson. Joseph's brother sold out him. That's a pretty elite crowd to be with. As a matter of fact, Judas sold out the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a pretty good crowd to be identified with. Be in love with those things. But she loved possessions. And I know as you're young, that may not be the top of your list. I know you change as you get older in the course of life. You want, it's physical, it's possessions, it's pride. It changes as you get older. But she had a desire for things. So she was willing to sell out anybody, anything, anyone to get what she wanted. But she had to, she desired popularity. So how do you know this? Where do you read this in the text? She did make a deal with the Philistines to get public enemy number one.
Yeah.
You realize Samson was a thorn in the flesh to the Philistines.
Right.
They hated him. He had killed many of them. He had made a fool out of them time and time again. And they wanted Samson. They wanted to destroy Samson. So her job was to find the secret of Samson's strength. So while we're there, let me just give you the secret of strength. Amen. Wasn't it a blessing that Samson wasn't just another man? I don't want to be just another man. But there's a secret to that strength that's pretty simple. She didn't know what it was. What it was, one, it was a supernatural birth. That's what it took for Samson's strength. His mother, Mrs. Manoah, was barren.
Yeah.
You remember the angel of God came by that day and made that announcement. God gave her, said she'd be pregnant with a boy and he would begin. Sad word right there, just begin. Like a lot of Christians, he didn't finish, he just began. I'll throw that in there, that's free. But it was a miraculous birth. And as a child of God, you know where your power comes from. It comes from a miraculous birth. So I had never experienced a miracle. You ever been saved? Amen. The greatest miracle that's ever been known is the life and change that takes place in somebody's heart and life when they're saved by the grace of God. I'm a walking miracle this morning. Amen. And if you're saved, you're a walking miracle. It came from that supernatural birth, but it also came from I'll call it a sanctified life. Set apart, a pure. Back in chapter 13, verse 7, that angel laid down some boundaries and some parameters to protect Samson. You hear me? Protect Samson.
That's exactly right.
He was a Nazarite from the womb. And he was not to get a haircut. He wasn't to drink wine. And he wasn't to touch dead things. A lot of you can read more about that Nazarite vow, but you know, that's pretty good advice. Be careful about handling dead things. You know, lost people are dead. Be careful about that crowd.
Right.
But even the wine, there's no place for wine and alcohol in your life.
Right.
Amen. Yeah, I know we live in a day of tolerance and what's the word? Moderation, just as long as you don't get drunk. But if it's all right, Brother Turner, I'm going to quote you. He put a good quote on Facebook one day, and there is a place for beer and wine and alcohol. It's in the pit of hell. Amen? That's exactly where it belongs. No place for that. And I know Samson was long hair. He had those seven long locks. Girls, you grow your hair as long as you want to. But it's a New Testament truth. It's a shame for a man to have long hair. I'll give you that. I don't know where the line is, but I'm going to tell you what. I think nature teaches us some things. That's there. The problem is, if you want to be pure, you don't see how close you can get to the world and get by. There's a place of separation. I'm going to tell you something about this thing, separation. We all quote 2 Corinthians 6:17. Come out from among them. Now we separate, but all we do is put a distance between them. But I think the key word in that text is come. Jesus said, come to me. Come towards me and separate. You get close to God, you won't have no problem. I remember when I got saved on a Sunday night in January of 1986. And I went to Avery County High School that next day. And I met up with my buddies and out in the hall, and something wasn't there anymore. I didn't say a word. We didn't talk much about it, but for some reason that relationship went south because I went towards him and he separated some things in my life.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
But but it's a pure life. I want to tell you, you hear a man's preach with the power of God. You see somebody sing with the touch of God on their life. It's not an accident. It comes with a price. It's somebody, thank God, that you've been birthed in the family of God, but it's somebody that's maintaining a walk. It's somebody that's trying to keep themselves pure and clean and honor the Lord. God doesn't anoint just any old dead vessel, any old dirty vessel. But I want to throw that about the power. But what did Delilah do to get it? Let me just say this. Delilah looked. Let me ask you this. Have you ever seen somebody with a touch of God on their lives? That unexplainable? Well, you know, Delilah looked at that and she put no value on it at all. It didn't mean anything. There was no importance at all. So what she decided she was going to do is she was going to work on Samson to rob that power. There's three words in this chapter that were involved in robbing her of her power. And I want to tell you something. This spirit of Delilah wants to rob us of our power. It won't say, if we're fussing, fighting, butting heads in our youth group and going back and forth or doing that in our church, that power, the Holy Ghost ain't going to evolve in that. That grieves him. He wants no part of that. That's nothing like him. That's not his nature. He can't cohabitate with that division. Hey, I tell you this. I remember in Psalm 133, he said, behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. As we look at these things this morning, look at these words that were used here. Enticed, vexed, pressed, afflicted. Those are difficult words. I want to look at what she did to it. First of all, she enticed him. She tempted him.
Yeah.
Now I was reading these verses to us this morning, and every time I read over this, Delilah's plot, Samson's doings, and I don't know which was bigger, her brazenness or... I hate to say this, or Samson's stupidity. I don't know another word to put that. I mean, somebody's wanting your power, and she told him right off the bat, I want to know your power so you'll be weak and we can afflict you. Okay, here it is. I mean, brother, I ain't the shiniest apple on the tree. But that don't make good sense to me. I think that was pride, by the way, in Samson's life that did that. But three times he tried something, or those green whiffs. I really had planned when I was preaching this to give you three great ginormous truths about those whiffs and the weaving and the robes, but I don't know what they are, so we're not going to do them this morning. But I think about that, but those whiffs, she did that. She tied him. She did that herself. And then went with the new ropes. She tied him. Then he went out, but then weaving his hair. Now, I don't know everything. I have to read a commentary once in a while. You guys probably don't. I know you open the Bible and God just reveals it all to you. I mean, like some kind of, like the Isle of John on the Isle of Patmos, you get it first look. But it looks like the seven locks, what the Bible says. But it appears that she literally took some kind of small weaving loom as he went to sleep, started running his hair through that loom while he was asleep. And then she told him, he went out, pulled the loom and everything, dragging behind his head, and it was miraculous. And did that, but three times she did that. She enticed him and tempted him in such a way that he would give into that. But she vexed him. She used works, but she used words. She threw out this phrase, how canst thou say that I love thee?
Yeah.
Now you probably know the next words are going to come out of my mouth. Yeah. How many times in an hour of temptation has a young man looked over to a young lady and said, if you love me, you will. I'll say, well, Brother Tim, how do you answer that question? I love him. I love her. That is not a measure of love. Hey, in 1 Corinthians, in the love chapter in the Bible, it says that love doth not behave itself unseemly. How about that? That's not a measure of love. And let me just throw this in while we're here, just in case. I feel like people are ignorant about this, but there's an order of these relationships in life. The little song said it, little chant said it best. First comes love, then comes marriage, then comes the baby care. That's how it works. That's how it works, just to throw that in there. But I love thee, you know. Listen, let me say this. If you have someone in your life that is throwing statements out at you like that, you got a Delilah. You got a Delilah on your hands. You need to walk away. You need to walk away. You don't need to look back. You need to walk away from that and don't apologize for it. But it goes on. Every day she weakened him. Well, that's the danger of a Delilah. He lost his strength in the end, but she pulled at him every day. She weakened him every day. She broke down his resistance every day. See, that's like sin. You be careful of sin. You know, you've been taught right and you're blessed with a conscience. Conscience is not your guide, but it's a boundary. And boy, if you ever violate your conscience, you cross that boundary. You beware when you go back again, that boundary won't be there. You be careful with sin. You be careful. But she weakened him every day, constantly pulling him down and pulling him away from God. You know, think about Delilah and that attitude. They don't have to be trying to tempt you to go out in the world and commit some sin. But they vex you and afflict you to the point that you're so focused on that Delilah that you've lost your focus on the Lord. You begin to look at maybe that storm or that Delilah in your life. But she finally, after he finally gave in and he told her, she did what every good friend would do when you confide in him. She told. And Delilah turned into a talebearer.
Yes, sir.
And a gossip. I'll tell you what, buddy. The most destructive creature down at the house of God. And down and in your youth group is that thing behind your teeth. It's a tongue. And when it gets in the when it gets loose in the mouth of the right person, I mean, it is destructive. I want you to look up here at this preacher this morning. I want you to try. I can't look at all of you now, but I want you to look up here. Boy, I want you to look right now. You know what you've been saying. You know whose ear you've been whispering to. You know how you've been tearing him down. You know how you've been tearing her down. Let me tell you something. I'm trying to look all of you in the eye. That's wicked as a devil. Ain't nothing Christian about that this morning. Y'all be encouraging them and edifying them. That's your brother. Tell you what, my boys, they play and cut up, but they something wasn't never allowed in the Ramsey house. My boys never raise hands to one another to fight. It ain't allowed. They're brothers. They're brothers. And it's a family. We're a body this morning. And you say, well, my left hand just isn't quite as good as my right hand. And my right hand, they don't get to wear any jewelry. My left hand has a watch and a ring. You're just blah. So I don't need you right hand. You know, you may think body parts are not very important until they hurt. I had a memory come back to me last night. I grew up in the metropolis of Banner Elk, North Carolina, just up above Wildcat Lake. And I could walk down to Wildcat Lake with the fishing pole. Now, I started out with my fishing pole to Wildcat Lake one morning. Wasn't thinking a lot about my ear, okay? Had my hook hooked on that eye, and here I'm going. And I'm going, but once in a while, them hooks come out of them eyes. And that hook wasn't an eye, and unbeknownst to me, it began to dangle back there. And finally, it caught on. You know, I was awful thoughtful about my ear there for a few minutes. It became the most important part on my body.
That's right.
Your church is a body. You're a body of young people this morning. Don't hurt your body. Don't hurt your body. Take care of your body. Take care of your brother. Look over there beside that one in the pew, whatever church you are. That's your sister. That's your brother. They need your love and they need your encouragement. They don't need you tearing them down. Hey, how many of you going to go back to school when you leave here in a couple of week or two? You're not going to school? You're going to homeschool? You're going to have some friends somewhere? You know old David. Now I pick on David. I'm going to tell you, I love David. I claim him as one of my boys. I love him. David's a preacher boy that tries to stand for God at Christian school. Some of these other boys there. At Bowling Springs High School. And he's going to get enough from that crowd up there assaulting him. He don't need you to do it. He don't need you to do it. And you other kids that go to public school. I went to Christian school. I've worked in Christian school. I have witnessed in Christian school, friend. And that's your brother. Man, I hope I get that across to you. I think of all this message, that's what's burning on me the most. Boy, I say it again, we need to fall in love with Jesus and fall in love with our brethren. Why did she do this? Why do you do that? Why do you tell that stuff? Why do you tear him down? Why do you tear her down? Why do you do that?
Yeah.
Well, if it's putting them down, where's it moving you? trying to elevate you. That was Delilah's ultimate goal. She wanted to be number one. She wanted to walk through Gaza to her head high. It's the one. That's the one. Hey, that's the best athlete in the youth group. That's the best looking boy in the youth group. That's the strongest boy in the youth. That's the prettiest girl in the youth group. She wears the nicest clothes in the youth group. She's the richest girl in the youth group. She's got the prettiest hair in the youth group. She's got a boy. She's got the prettiest voice in the youth group. That's what you want to be. Ain't that what you want to know by? You know what you need to be known by? Boy, that's a sweet girl. Boy, she got a heart for Jesus.
That's right.
Boy, she's good to people. She loves people. That's kind of like my Lord did.
That's right.
Remember that Christian thing? That's what you want to be, a witness to somebody. Nobody cares how much you know. Nobody cares how much you know. Nobody cares how much you have. Nobody cares how great you are. What matters how much they know you care.
Yeah. That's right.
See, that's why we're not a witness.
Yeah.
That's why we tell this junk on one another, because we don't care. We're bitter and we're hard and we're calloused in our heart. But let's look at her accomplishment. I'm almost finished this morning. What was the result of all this? Well, let's just stop a minute and look at old Samson.
Yeah.
You know, Samson could, it's not a good type, but he could be a, he's a type of the church or a type of a child of God. He had power in his life.
Yeah.
He wasn't perfect. He wasn't perfect by any means. He had God's power and God's approval in his life.
Yeah.
And she attacked him. She sold him out. And she attacked him. And then, I think about this. I mentioned those words of vexed and enticed. But that word afflicted, that's a tough word. People that have afflictions physically hurt.
Yep.
You watch him, you've been out and about and you've seen older people limp. It's like they get on a move and walk, they're afflicted.
Yeah.
You've got people at church that are sick, they're afflicted. I wonder what she did that day after he'd gone to sleep on her lap. And she called the man in to bring those shears to cut his hair. And then the Bible says right there that she afflicted him. I wish I could get in my mind, what did she do? It was something mean. It was something nasty. I mean, get off me. I'm through with you. I don't need you anymore. And Samson lost his strength. Those Philistines come in and they just dug out his eyes. They just bore out, dug them out. And suffered, chained him. And boy, God began to, actually those brass chains, God began to judge Samson for how he responded to all that. But that's not the point this morning. But look what happened. What do you expect to happen?
Yeah.
I mean, what do you expect to be the end result when you turn, when that spirit of Delilah, or you turn your assaults towards somebody? What do you expect to happen? I mean, what is going to come of that? I wish that I could stand and tell you that I have never said anything to hurt somebody. I have a very dark memory this morning. I told, and I'm going to be honest, that there was a young lady in our youth group, she's black. And we were all stupid and we were telling racial jokes. And you didn't do that in earshot, but we did it. And I didn't know, but she heard that day. Never seen her again. That haunts me, Brother Chris. That haunts me. That didn't do me any good, but I hurt her. And I would to God that never happened.
Right.
I see her face. I'll never forget her name. I hurt her. But you know, that had an impact on me. What kind of impact did that have on Delilah? How do you think that made her feel? We, at least with Judas, when he sold out Christ, he tried to give him the money back. She didn't do anything. She probably went out and partied.
Yep.
Boy, so calloused, so unconcerned.
Yeah,
so it don't matter. I can hurt you. That don't bother me at all. Friend, you got problems.
That's right.
I'm telling you, you got a bad, bad heart problem.
Right.
And brother, you better let God turn on the searchlight of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. Start looking in your heart and find out where you are with God. If you are Delilah, what if it turns out that your Samson is not actually a Samson? What if he's a sinner? What if he's lost?
Yeah, preacher.
What are you destining him to? What are you pushing him to? That poor Samson, or that sinner, is going to die and go to hell because of your callousness.
Yeah.
Say, Brother Tim, that's hard. It's mean what Delilah did. It's dirty what Delilah did. Are you Delilah? Do you act like Delilah? You ever been around a Delilah? Let me just give you this. How do you deal with a Delilah? I mean, there might be, this might be so pinpointed that there might be somebody in your life that they're just attacking you. You know. You're not imagining. I mean, it's sometimes we just decide it's happening, but I mean, it's a fact. You know. You may think they're attacking you. I feel sorry for young people sometimes because of your lack of experience in life. You just don't have the wisdom to deal with stuff. I want to help you this morning. Number one, don't give in to her. Don't let that, no matter what you think she's saying, what you know she said, don't let that change nothing about you if you're doing right. You keep doing right. Don't retaliate. Don't start talking about her. Don't go on the attack to attack. See, we're not, we don't have attack weapons as a child of God. The only weapon we got to attack with is against the devil, it's the word of God. We're not brought, we're sheep. We're sheep. Our shepherd defends us. We're not goats. We don't fight. But I'll tell you this, be to her, be to that Delilah what she ought to be to you. That's the Christian way. That's not popular. That's not the society. Boy, I'll tell her. And then you pull out that old vocabulary and you get behind your Facebook or your text messages or yet where you feel so empowered and you let into them and you blister. God ain't in that. Boy, God wants us to be restored and right with Him. Do that thing that brings Christ the most glory. What if you are a Delilah? Maybe you're the one. Maybe you're the one that's yapping your tongue. Maybe you're the one that's on the attack. I want to tell you what, if you know that you've ever done that, number one, you need to get right with God.
Yes, sir.
Because you're not right with God. I don't care what, like I said a while ago, no matter what your mom and daddy says, it don't matter how much you get elevated, it don't matter what you see in the mirror, your heart is dirty and needs to get right with God. You need to get right with your Samson. You need to say them words. I'm wrong. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's right. Good preaching, preacher, man.
That's the greatest day of your life when you get enough victory to come out that you're the wrong and make the move. Boy, I tell you what, you ever humble yourself like that and make that move, boy, God's going to do something in your life. Yeah. I trade that spirit of Delilah for the touch of God any day of the week. Amen.
Amen. Good preaching.
But I'll be honest with you, it goes a little further than that. You've been tearing somebody down. You need to make some things right with some other people.
That's right.
Amen. That's how revival starts in churches, by the way.
Amen.
Now, if you don't know a Delilah, if you got a Delilah trying to whisper in your ear, and they get over there, you need to say, what? I don't hear that mess. What are you doing? Why are you telling that mess? You're the one that can do the dance. You're the one that can take the stand. But then, go over and find Samson. Don't say nothing to him that you know what's going on. Just walk over to Samson and say, hey, I like that jacket, Samson. You're looking good today, man. I want you to know I appreciate you. I'm praying for you. I love you, man. You're my friend. I'm glad you're part of my youth group. I'm glad you're part of glad God done sent for you to speak a couple years ago too, by the way. I'm glad you're around. If you ever need me, I'm here.
Amen.
And then you need to pray for Delilah and Samson. Somebody. Go to God for them.
Yes.
I'm gonna be honest. Delilah is so wicked, she can't get a hold of God if she had to. Because she got sin in her life. And Samson's probably defeated. He can't pray. Somebody. Somebody. Yeah, so you know what I'm going to do? I don't have the wisdom to fix this thing, but I know somebody can.
Yeah.
I'm going to find me a place on the altar, and I'm going to go to bat for these who are in trouble. That needs to get right. That needs some help. And I tell you what, I ain't letting my youth group get sold out for some Delilah. I'm going to tell God on them. And I'm going to pray God gets a hold of them. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to pray God gets them right or gets them out. Amen.
Yeah.
That's cruel and that's mean, but I'm going to tell you, this thing's real. This thing's winding up. This thing's about eternity, and we need to get eternity in perspective. We need to get our eyes on Jesus, get back to old-time religion like the song said. Makes me love everybody. Are you Delilah this morning? Are you battling Delilah this morning? Let's stand with their heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, I come to you this morning in Jesus' name. And God, I thank you for the liberty this morning. God, I feel like you've helped me. God, I plead, and God, I even fear, God, that didn't get it. But I pray, God, Lord, it would take such a draw of you. I realize the power it'd take to get that one that's running her mouth, or that Delilah one to admit the wrong, to step on the neck of pride, do something about it. God, what a victory it'd be this morning. I pray, God, that you'd help that one. I pray, God, that you would help that one that may be the victim. God, help them to know that it's just an attack of the devil. Help them to know that you love them. Help them to keep on going for God and living for you. God, bless these youth groups. God, may your hand and power be on them. God, may you unify them. May you unify their churches. God, just take this today. God, get glory out of it. And I praise you so much for what you do. In Jesus' name. Pastor Shelton's heading this way, and there's some that's already moved. But you're never going anywhere until you get honest. And I encourage you to be honest. And I'm going to say this carefully. It may be that Samson don't know what you've been doing. So God puts it on your heart to apologize, then be careful. Just be careful how you do it, but make it right. Make it right. Step on the foot in the neck of pride and do God what God will have you do. I mean, what's more important? What's more important?